have an S on your chest. But you darn sure got to be able to represent that T on your helmet.
Live from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
Welcome to The Blitz today, live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports, Knoxville. It is Tuesday, February 25th. The time is 10:03 a.m., and we are ready for an action-packed show today. As always, my name is Rick Butler, joined to my left by Brandon Orrick, joined to my right by the one and only Chance Collins. Chuck, he's out today.
Chuck, where are you at, Chuck? See, I'm a little concerned. It's doing the thing where I can't hear myself again. I'm a little concerned about Charles.
Okay.
Chuck. Because he told us yesterday that he's going to be here.
Yeah, but do we need to file a missing persons report?
I think I put the voice of reason in his head, his conscience.
Why? Why'd you do that, Chance?
I know it put more work on you. But hey, I'm here for the kids. And for the children.
For the edumacation.
And for the edumacation.
Yeah. Schools for losers. Schools for losers.
Yeah. You just went to school.
And we all went.
And I feel like a loser for going.
And we all went.
We're all Big J journalists, though, right?
Sometimes I do feel like there's always a lot of money. But Charles, I was like, are you sure, Charles? Are you sure, Chuck, that you want to skip class? You're like, I'm good. I'm not skip class. I do what I want. And then I guess he didn't do what he wanted to today. He decided to skip class.
He did what he wanted to do and skipped
the internship today. But hey, it wasn't his scheduled day, so
yeah,
all's well.
Towards the end of his tenure, we love him. But we let Weston, we let him kind of slide around a little bit. Feel like we got to really...
No sliding.
We really got to take reins of this situation.
I will rule with an iron fist.
Oh, no, you won't.
Yes, I will.
No, you won't.
Rick said no, you won't.
I would love for you to.
Well, then don't tell me that I won't.
All right, should I just be supportive over it?
Yeah.
All right. Brandon will be ruling with an iron fist from here on out. You heard it here first. It was breaking news, basically.
Will your iron fists have, like, magical powers like iron fists?
Maybe. I'm thinking maybe like a... Thanos kind of deal, like the gauntlet.
Okay.
I'm thinking that's...
Oh.
It's not really okay. Iron, but you
so we're gets, building gets towards the snap.
Yeah.
Okay.
Before we go any further, I want to give a birthday shout out.
A birthday shout out.
Whose birthday
yeah.
is it?
Our good friend, the one, the only, Bear. Happy birthday.
It's Bear. The Bear's birthday.
Wow.
Bear's birthday.
That dude's like, what, 70 now?
I don't know how old he is.
He's a young 70.
Yeah.
He's a very young 70, though.
Yeah. It's not a...
He's sneaky young.
Sneaky young.
Bear's a sneaky
That's
young
That's always
guy.
What they said. That's hey, always what they've said about
sneaky
Bear.
Sneaky young guy.
Well, happy birthday to him.
What do you think he's doing on his birthday?
Oh, I would imagine.
You know, like, a lot of us will take off on our birthday. I mean, hell, it's your birthday. You only get It's your one day,
yeah.
You know, that you get each year. He ain't taking off. He gonna be in here 3-6 today.
Y'all, uh-huh. y'all
Do you think he'll say anything about it being his birthday?
Hell no. That's no, why we if, have to tell anything, everybody.
Yeah, right. I was gonna say he might. You might get a text message soon. You might get a text, a communique.
From 3 to 6 this afternoon on the drive, we need all of you. We know you love listening to the Bear and Russell and Trey. We need all of you to call in and wish the Bear a very happy birthday. I mean, he's a bear. You got to cheer him up.
Yeah. Coming out of hibernation for this one day.
Yep.
Throw him a party.
Yep.
I don't know.
If you want to, hell, bring him some gifts. He loves gifts.
Now, Brandon, you were with him last night, were you not?
Yeah.
You and you guys went to a dinner, and I'm told.
Yeah.
Oh, you went to a dinner?
We went to a dinner.
I've been told nothing about this dinner because apparently something happened at the dinner.
I couldn't
hear about it yet.
I definitely want to know what the hell happened at this dinner. You don't have to give names where you were at.
You want to do it now or you want to do it later?
I'll do it now.
Yeah,
now?
Do it now.
Yeah.
Okay, now.
Hell yeah.
All right. So we go.
Like we got
love a good story off the top.
I do too.
So Cody and I meet with Bear.
All right.
Local establishment.
About taking him out for a birthday dinner?
It was
impromptu.
It was not intended originally as a birthday dinner, but kind of turned into one.
Remember, Monday's the night where apparently we have an open door policy.
Yep. Yep.
So
come and go as you please over at you guys' household.
Yes, sir.
So we're going to eat with Bear for his birthday. We get to said restaurant that is near Westtown Mall. We go to this restaurant, and I was a little late getting there. They were already there. They had an appetizer, had their drinks. I get there. The waiter comes to the table to take my order or to see what I want to drink. And I'd like a sweet tea. All right. Takes my order, goes back. But he was very weird. Very strange guy taking the order.
Okay. A little eccentric.
Yeah. That's a good word.
All right.
That's almost how I would describe him to begin with. And then, so then he goes away, comes back, takes our order. So we order, and he's one of these waiters that compliments your order. And I always thought that was weird.
Like he'll let you know when he thinks that you've ordered something good?
Yeah.
Okay.
But he did it with all of us.
That's what you do, though.
It's all right.
I don't know.
He's trying to upsell, maybe.
It's what you do, Brandon.
I don't know.
He's got to boost his own food.
Have you ever waited tables?
No.
All right, then. Next question.
I'm just saying it made me feel weird. It made me feel strange. Hey. And I was not the only one.
You got the steak and shrimp? Oh, good choice there. That's really
nice. Nah, it wasn't that. It wasn't that.
What was it? Can we recreate it? Can me and you? All right, I'm going to order it, and you're going to be the waiter. All right, yeah, I'd like a big old slap of meat right here on the table in front
of me. All
right,
now here's how it went. I ordered a sirloin. Right. I ordered a sirloin. He says, how would you like your sirloin, sir? I said, medium. He said, yes, medium, yes, medium. Very, very good, medium.
That's not that weird, man.
But he was...
you never know, that could be his technique, so he remembers everything.
I don't know. It was very strange. So then he goes away. He brings the food.
You don't like overly nice people. You don't like
I like nice people.
Apparently not.
It's not gotten to the weird part yet.
Okay. You're burying the lead.
So then he comes. He brings the food. We eat our food. He comes back and checks on us. Cody's asked for ice like 3 times. He's never brought the ice.
What does he need ice for?
His tea.
Oh, he's one of those guys. Like, man, I'm rising my tea. You know, those people, I just extra ice, just stacking there. Sometimes with their tea, when they're one of those guys, I need my extra ice, I bring them a tea and 2 extra cups of ice because I'm not dealing with that because
ain't nobody got time for that.
But you can carry on.
So then we're finished with our food. The waiter comes back.
Okay.
And
server is what we say in 2020.
Server,
I'm trying to learn you.
He comes back.
Yep.
And he's taking all of our plates.
Sure. This is what we call pre-bussing in the industry.
Yes. I know. This is standard procedure.
Yeah.
It's just the way that he's talking, and I may not be doing a very good job of
overly
explaining.
Overly nice guy, huh?
It's not that. Anyway, he proceeds to take everything off the table.
Okay.
And he's just standing over our table. We're trying to have conversation over dinner. And he's just standing at the table, and it's like, okay, are you done? And I kid you not, there were a couple of like sweetener wrappers that were just laying on the table.
That's what you do. You clean your table for your guests.
But not while we're still sitting there.
You do do that. You do that.
I could have done without it.
You do do that.
I could have just...
Nobody wants a dirty table, I'm telling you, in fine dining. I've been a manager. That's what you tell your staff. Some places even have, if you've ever seen it, like a really fancy place, they got the server has a crummer. It looks like almost like... it's like a long, almost like a ruler, but it's not. It's like about this big, and it's a crummer to get crumbs when people like eat bread and stuff.
Well,
clean service.
He didn't
do
that.
You guys are just uncultured swine.
He didn't do that because we did have crumbs, but
that's what I'm figuring out.
He went through and he picked up all the little wrappers. It was very unsafe. I didn't like it.
May I interject here?
Anybody who's ever waited on tables would tell you, I don't know if Rick has, but they would tell you it's common practice to keep the table clean for the guest.
Why can't you just wait till we leave? We were about to leave.
But it's just what you do. You don't want people to have dirty tables. It's like
It was not bothering me.
It's a show.
Like, I was fine with him coming and getting the plates.
But when he's doing that, he doesn't know if it's going to bother you or not, so he's cleaning.
I think we had given him plenty of signals that he was kind of creeping us out.
Well, look who you were out to eat with. You, Bear, and Cody.
What's that supposed to mean?
You know what it means.
May I interject here? Here's what I think about this whole situation.
You weren't there. You don't know.
Whoa, easy, Brandon.
What?
All right, easy. You are now forbidden to talk about all sports events today's show unless you are there witnessing the event, unless wow. You are at the baseball game, unless you are at the Astros game where Jose Altuve got plunked with a ball, unless you are at the basketball game versus Auburn, you may not talk about any of it.
So I can't talk about sports?
Absolutely not.
All right, so I should just go home?
That's the new rule. So here's what I think about your situation, right?
Okay.
I think that Chance is right, that yes, you know, your proper waiter etiquette, you know, as it goes. However, I do agree with you, though, at the same time. And look, sometimes that's a little unsettling, right? Sometimes you want to go out to a nice meal because, you know, sitting at the table, having conversation, that's the point of it. And so, yeah, maybe it's a little uncomfortable when the waiter is, you know, is reaching over or trying to grab things left and right and, you know, sometimes that's just the way it goes because it does sound like that's what they're supposed to do, even though I get why it made you uncomfortable. I'm going to play Switzerland here right now.
I feel like I didn't do a good job of conveying how weird this guy was.
No, I think you did. But I don't think I did.
Maybe he had to be there.
When I said you, Cody, and Bear, one guy's very impatient. You can't teach old dog new tricks. Cody is the younger version of the bear.
You're saying that Cody's a young bear?
Yes, I am. Wow. Think about it. They have a lot of similarities. They're like Thelma and Louise.
Where do I fit into this?
They are like Bebop and Rocksteady. yeah, no, they are. They are a gruesome. They're a gruesome doosome.
Oh, that's
but they are though. They're very similar. And I'm saying the guy trying to take the other perspective. And I understand what you're talking about. Sometimes, because as a server, you even think, oh, am I going to check on them too much? Am I bothering them? You think that in your head, but then sometimes you think that, and then somebody tells your manager, oh, well, he just came over and dropped the drinks and dropped our food, and then never came back the rest of the dinner. That happens a lot. And you're like, well, I was just trying to give you some privacy with your family so y'all could talk and eat. You wouldn't believe how much it happens on both sides. So that person probably had something like that happen before, wanted to make sure that they were attentive. Maybe they were on thin ice at work. Maybe they were in trouble, and their manager told them, you've been not really paying attention to your tables lately. It's time that you stay on the ball. And you guys just happen to be in that line of fire.
You know,
I feel like this guy does. I feel like he doesn't get in trouble at work.
This is a stick.
This guy doesn't get in trouble at work.
Well, even better then. You had the best server there is what it sounds like. What are you guys really complaining about?
I'm not conveying my message across.
You're complaining about good service is all I hear.
You weren't there. You don't know.
The kind of waiters that really make me nervous, maybe you got a group of four, even a group of three, and they're like, all right, are you ready to order? And you start the order.
And then they sit down at the table.
No, I've never had a waiter sit down at the table with me.
What? Have you had this happen, Chance?
I mean, I've done it before if there's an open seat. Like, it depends on, like, how cool you are with the table.
I don't really think that's weird. I've never heard of that happening or never seen it.
Well, if it's, like, a big table, like, a big group especially, like, sometimes it's tough to just go around. And if they seem really cool, you might just sit down and be like, hey, guys, let me get what you, you know, sometimes.
Yeah. No, I understand
Brandon thinks that's weird. See, Brandon, I'm feeling like good service and creating a rapport and going above the call of duty of normal service is a problem for you.
I'm not asking for above the call of duty. I'm asking for the call of duty.
But, if anything, you're asking for a little less.
Yeah.
Well, when they're in there making 213 plus tips, they're trying to do everything they can to go above the call of duty.
But see, here's the thing. Here's the thing.
That is true.
Here's the thing.
It's a tip.
Man,
it's
I
a
work
tip
for tips
thing,
right
man.
Now.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. At what point, though, for me, is he actually negatively affecting his tip?
Good service, negative.
Did it negatively impact his tip for you?
Uh-oh. It probably did.
Maybe a little.
Oh!
I mean, I still left him $5.
What was your tab?
I'm
trying to see if it was 20%. That's the going rate.
I left him $5 on 15.
Okay.
That's very nice.
That's
of you.
Very
that's,
good.
That's all
okay.
Very nice of you.
Good job. Yeah,
do you think I don't tip well? Are we getting into
Cody
my tip?
Cody doesn't.
Are you getting into my tip etiquette here?
Cody doesn't. We already established this months ago when Cody came to see me at the bar.
I remember this.
Yeah.
I
had to put
this.
Him on blast. He's not
very
Cody,
well.
Cody Mack, not a great tipper. Kind of like Michael Jordan.
I don't know.
No,
I don't know.
Real
I
quick.
Feel like the, I was there at this situation. I know. I don't know.
Give free food, tip better.
Hey, real quick though,
that's the golden rule.
Oh, you just handed us a bag.
He got free food that he didn't have to pay for, so you're supposed to take care of your server anytime somebody.
You just handed him a bag.
He didn't have to pay for his food. What did he do for that? Nothing.
What did you do? You handed him a bag.
I know how.
What did you do?
Yeah, I put in his order. And I could have when I saw it said Cody Mack, I could have just not answered it. That's what I did. I'm the damn gatekeeper. What are you talking about? I'm the gatekeeper.
Hey, you got to give me a tip because I answered your call.
Like,
I knew it was you.
Like I'm some measly hourly employee. I know he got it for the low. I'm trying. He's got to take care of me on the back end. I'm calling him out again. You rehashed old wounds. You
me,
did this.
You're the one that brought
you
it up.
You did this. You weren't there. How about that?
I was there. I was out in the car. I was out in the car.
But you weren't there.
All
right. Got you there. Got
enough,
you there.
Enough of this restaurant and waiter conversation.
I got you. I got to stick up for the little people.
Hey.
I got to.
Well, we'll go to sports. Right after this break, you're listening to The Blitz, Fan Run Radio. Back here on the Blitz, 10:23 a.m. Rick Butler, Brandon Orth, and Chance Collins, as we are working our way through the first hour of the show today, broadcasting live from the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. So, just kind of scrolling around the internet right now, looking for a little bit of content to fill, and I see the United States trends on Twitter. The fourth trend is Pretty Ricky. Now, I don't really know.
I don't think that's talking about you.
I didn't think it was talking about me either. Although, you know, it could. If somebody wants to, you know, add that into the trending tweets, it'd be okay. But so Pretty Ricky is tweeting, and I don't know what this is about. I don't know who Ricky is. I don't know.
Ricky Gervais?
If this individual.
Pretty Ricky is a group.
It is.
If it's talking about the group Pretty Ricky. Yeah, group from the early 2000s, mid-2000s R&B group.
So that's trending right now. But it also makes me think of our own Pretty Ricky. Some would say. Many people, though, would use the word pretty talking about the bank account, right, of one Rick Barnes, though.
You talking about Rick Barnes?
I'm talking about Pretty Rick Barnes. That's what we're doing here. Now, I thought about our conversation a lot yesterday, just because, you know, this is kind of the conversation going around right now, and a lot of people, they want to know at least how much blame to put on Rick Barnes, right? And so I'm kind of thinking about this. And some people, you know, some people are going as far as to say that, you know, they do want to look at new coaches, and they don't think that Rick Barnes was, you know, is something special or is the guy who can, you know, he can get you up there and he can bring your program back. But there are people who are not sold that he is going to, you know, make it count when it matters the most in postseason.
Well, I think we had talked about just a little bit yesterday. Give me just a second. I'm going to pull up his resume.
Sure.
I don't. Well, we were talking yesterday about whether or not we thought he was an underachiever. Is that
overrated?
Overrated.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't. I'm not saying he is or he isn't, but I do think that you can say he's an underachiever. I do think you can say that. Historically, as a coach, I mean, at least in recent years, I mean, he's not made an Elite Eight since 2007-2008. That was 2007-2008. That was the Texas team. And since then, he has made one Sweet 16, and that was last year.
So, hey, so okay, so I do agree. Years. I do think. I think it's a fair criticism to say that, you know, hey, he does have a bad track record in the moments that matter the most, right? And I don't think that's me coming off on him or going over the top rope or you know, saying that everything's a dumpster fire. It's just saying that, yeah, hey, we do realize this. I'm sure he does. I'm sure there are a lot of people. You know, I'm sure that he is disappointed about how many times that he has had successful teams in the postseason, but can never seem to get it done. But for me, man, like I understand. I'm just as mad as anybody, right, over some of the coaching things that we've seen over the past 2 years. I don't know if I necessarily think they are as abundant as some other people think they are. I don't think that to be true. But let's not forget that just about a year ago this time, maybe about a month in advance, so maybe about 11 months ago or so, Rick Barnes was named the AP Coach of the Year in college basketball. Like, let's not forget that. And so then I think that changes the question to for the Barnes bashers, right? And I don't like that cliche, but for the people who are negative towards Rick Barnes, I think they look at that and say, you know, well, look at the team. You had maybe one of the most special teams in Tennessee history. How much did he do? But I wouldn't really take that side myself. This guy was the coach of the year for a reason. I mean, granted, yeah, it took a couple years to build up that team specifically, and it took a couple years to build up the leaders on that team. But, man, like I understand that this was a down year. I understand that this was a bad year. I understand that there was a lot of frustrations built up throughout all of these months. But let's pump the brakes on the change in the immediate future. Right? This guy won an AP National Coach of the Year last year. Let's at least give it some time. My biggest thing that I always keep coming back to is I don't know how much further off our current reality is than people's predictions were at the beginning of the season. Like the people who are really mad. I don't even want to know what your prediction was because I can't even imagine how just out of this world it probably was. But I think for most of the people who had fair expectations going into this year, like I think that, you know, we're kind of the ones who maybe more so have the look of, you know, hey, understand that things bad, understand that things are going to get a little bit better soon. But we're not gonna make any crazy moves happen right now. We're not gonna react. We're not gonna make any reactionary moves. That's kind of where I've been these last 24 hours, I guess, since we got off the air yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't understand. And I said it yesterday, I don't understand people that are wanting to make a change. I mean, I'm not at that point. I mean, I'm not even close to that. I just think that. After Saturday, I think it makes you question, you know, what are we doing? Well, I mean, You were reading me an article before the show this morning, Rick, about how what was it? Was that on KenPom?
Yes. I have that right here.
And it is basically what we said all of last week. This team, if you can go 3-2 these last five, this team is right is can play itself back into the bubble conversation, and it just makes you. It puts Saturday in a. To where you're like, what? We had this team down 17 points at one point in the second half.
Yes.
This Auburn team. It was, it was laid out on a silver platter for you to get a nice win and boost your tournament. And this was it. This was a game that even, I think even the most diehard Tennessee fans didn't think that Tennessee had a chance to win. Going on the road to Auburn. I mean, this was not one of the games that if you said, okay, you got to go 3-2, this was probably one of the ones that you were saying, okay, probably not going to get this one.
Yeah.
But then you have it, and then your coach just refuses to call a timeout at any point during that 18-0 Auburn run. Refuses to. And then sits up there after the game and defends himself. And throws the team under the bus, which I don't necessarily like. I mean, at some point, and I know that's kind of Barnes' style, is to be very critical of players, I guess. I guess that's fair. I feel like he coaches very hard. I don't know if necessarily throwing them under the bus is the right. But he's very hard on his players.
Sure.
I think he loves his players and all that good stuff, but I think he coaches them very hard. But this is what he said after the game when asked if he considered taking a timeout during the run. We come out of timeout sometimes, and guys don't do exactly what we want them to. So to answer your question, do I think a timeout would have helped? I don't.
When he's talking about, you know, coming out of a timeout, sometimes guys just don't do what you want them to do. Do you take that as he's basically saying, you know what, sometimes we just expect the defense to come out looking like this, and they don't, so we just got to kind of change things up on the fly. Goodbye that whole play that we had. Or do you think he's basically saying, hey, sometimes we'll have a play set up, and maybe one guy just out of the five goes rogue, and that kind of sets off a chain reaction? What do you get from that quote more?
That's kind of how I took it, was the second one about somebody on Tennessee's team kind of screwing it up.
Yeah.
That's how I took it.
And I'm going to be honest, like my first reaction is it sounds like that is shifting the blame a little bit. Granted, we don't know, you know, what that timeout was going to do or anything like that. I was talking to TK on Twitter a couple days ago, right after this game, and we were talking about that timeout, and I said that, you know, hey, that timeout would have been nice, and it would have been nice, you know, for Tennessee to get maybe some new players in the game, something like that. But at the end of the day, like, I don't think you're calling that timeout because it's going to, you know, do something major for your offense. The offense was just bad at that point. Like, you just have to do something to stop the other team a little bit. I mean, when you're Auburn, you're flying down that court left and right. You know, and just no one stopping you, and you're just building up a little more confidence. Every single time you go down the court and you score versus every time we go down the court and we don't score, it's just a little bit of confidence. It's building up, building up. So at the very least, like, I don't think that at the timeout that could have been called, I don't even believe that would have been revolutionary for Tennessee's offense and we would have gotten back on track right there. But at the very least, I would have hoped that would have slowed down Auburn momentarily. And I think part of, like, in a lot of situations, that's why you call a timeout.
Yeah.
Not because you want to regroup your team, but it's just basically saying, hey, we got to hold down the other team for 35 seconds. We got to get them to stop running down the court, because every time they do, they score the ball.
And, I mean, you look at a guy like John Calipari, who from watching Tennessee and Kentucky so much.
I mean, there have been games where Tennessee will go on, they'll just start the game hot. Tennessee will go on a score 5-6 straight points. Calipari call a timeout.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just to stop them and get them out of their rhythm. Like, I did not understand not calling a timeout. And that's middle school basketball coaches would call a timeout in that situation. And I know, and it's been a part of Barnes, strategy, I guess, since he's been here, but to kind of let the team figure it out on their own. He just sits over there. I mean, that's fine. You can do that when you have a team like you did last year.
Right, or potentially even like a team coming in next year.
Nah, see, I don't even think you can do it next year. Not with as young as they'll. I mean, you think still part of that young.
Part of that comes from the experience.
Yeah, but you can't do that with this team this year.
Yeah,
you don't have a leader. You don't have a leader on this team that can figure it out.
Especially when you do,
Jordan Bowden, but he's not been that.
Plus, it's like one guy on the court. One guy knows the experience of last year. It's tough. 865-546-8200. Hey, Phil, we see you right there. Give us one quick sec. We'll catch this commercial break. Come back to you right on the other side. You are listening to The Blitz, Fan Run Radio.
Okay, hold up, wait a minute.
All right, back here on The Blitz, 10:39 a.m., 865-546-8200. That is your number to call in on the show today. In case you want to talk a little Rick Barnes, a little Tennessee baseball, a little MLB, whatever it may be, that is your phone number. We'll start with the phone lines right now. Take a call from Phil. Good morning, Phil. How are you doing?
Well, I'm glad you finally got to me, Fabulous.
I know. I'm sorry. We took a second. We had to get all those Rick Barnes thoughts out of my head.
Really?
Well, I got a bunch in there right now.
You still got more? That's pretty cool, you know.
I got way too many dumb thoughts than I know what to do with, Phil. I guess that's why I picked this as a job.
And you talk about something special on the hill. Is that what you were saying earlier?
What do you mean?
My coaches.
Okay, wait, repeat your question. I'm sorry, I guess I missed
something. You talked about do we have something special in Rick Barnes. Well, do we have anything special on the hill, coaching-wise? You look at it, this time last year, we'd probably say Rick Barnes was something special, but he's having a mediocre year,
yeah.
And some of it's self-inflicted. But you look until he's probably the best thing on the men's side, and that's how bad it is on the men's side. I mean, Jeremy Pruitt has yet to beat Florida, Georgia, or Alabama. Until he does, then, you know, it's a question mark. And then the rest of the men's track program is no good.
What about Tony V, Phil? You a believer?
This is year three, so that's what happened to Rick Barnes. Year three, he blew up, so maybe Vitale will blow up. He's doing a great start this year, and he has a lot of personality. He's kind of like a Bruce Pearl of baseball.
Yeah, I know that baseball's. I mean, until Tennessee starts winning big, people aren't going to really care about baseball in Knoxville. But I like Vitello a lot. He's outspoken, and I mean, you look at how quickly he's turned Tennessee around. But he was also at, I think Arkansas is where we hired him from. He was a very instrumental part in kind of turning them around. They're a top 10 program now.
Yeah, he knows how to get players, and that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
Anytime you look at it, you got to have ball players. I watched Florida State and Louisville last night. Florida State's loaded with basketball players.
Yeah, they have just very relentlessly moved into the top 10, and they're going to be a force coming up soon.
They're 10 deep, too. Now, I don't know if Leonard Hamilton can take them to the Final Four, but is Leonard Hamilton does he get criticized like Rick Barnes does here? He took them to Elite Eight, I think, one time.
I don't think he does because, like, you know, it's more the fact that, I think Florida State's worried about basketball somewhat because they've done well over the last, you know, say 6-7 years. Leonard Hamilton's done pretty well, and he's been there a long time, but they know that, I guess most of their focus is on football, so they like if he goes to an Elite Eight, that's a bonus. Like, I don't think they're expecting
you know, to be national champions in basketball, but they maybe now because he's gotten better. But I think just some schools, and this is kind of my point with Rick Barnes now. I know everybody's kind of mad about Barnes and talking about how he's underachieved, whatever, whatever. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know if Tennessee wins a basketball championship in my lifetime. I just don't know if it's set up like that. Like, is Tennessee ever going to win one? Now, with the right coach, I guess people say you could, and the right talent. And is that a defeatist attitude to even think, well, they're not supposed to win one? I mean, it's who cares if they win one? I don't know. But expectations are high, and should they be, you know, somewhere just a little bit lower? But everybody, I heard you talking the other day with the guys on the drive. Everybody keeps looking back at this $5 million. But Russell made a good point that the $5 million, you know, had already been, you know, worked out and everything. Like, you weren't giving him $5 million to take this team to the NCAA tournament. You were giving him the $5 million to extend him so he doesn't leave, and to kind of pay homage to what he has done since he's been here. You're paying him to be the top coach in the country for where he has taken Tennessee basketball so far. You didn't give him that extension to be like, well, go next year and go to the Elite Eight. That's not why you gave him that extension and gave him that money.
And I'll be completely honest, money doesn't really bother me that much.
It shouldn't.
It's not mine.
They got plenty of money over there.
It's not mine.
Yeah. Well, it's not mine. And another thing too, like, the market says you have to pay a coach like Rick Barnes that much when UCLA is calling. That's just where the market was. Like, you had to, or you were going to lose your coach.
It is.
And then if you lost your coach, you start right back at step one, like Rick Barnes did, building the program back up. New coach, new recruits, new coaching staff, everything.
Yeah, there's a reason why Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and Drew Brees are not the top three paid quarterbacks in the NFL, right? Because it's simply supply and demand. Dak Prescott is about to be the most paid quarterback in the NFL. He hasn't done bleep.
Well, it depends.
Bleep. I don't know why they drew
it. It depends on. Yeah,
so it's just total supply and demand, even with these college coaches.
Yeah, supply and demand depends on when your contract's coming up, where the market value is that year, because it changes every year. We have to acknowledge the market value of a coach in collegiate athletics and professional, and the market value of player contracts, it changes every year. New CBAs, new television deals, it changes every year. You got to pay your coach a little bit more because your team is making a little bit more with television rights, or your conference is making more.
Do you think that Tennessee fans are, since they haven't got nothing out of the football program in 20 years, are putting more pressure on the basketball program to produce them some kind of SEC championship or Final Four run?
Absolutely. If football was strides in a far, say if football was competing for the East over the last 4 years or playing for SEC championships, Rick Barnes' success would be even more as like, oh, it's just an extra benefit, and you wouldn't see as many people harp on when he comes up short because your attention's focused on football. I do think that has a little bit of a part in it, Phil.
Yeah, and plus, he's, like you said, you talk about the $5 million, he makes more than Jeremy Pruitt, but I think that if Jeremy Pruitt wins here, he will get paid a handsome amount of money.
Yeah, I mean, I think, look at, there's one of those coaches that just got hired. I think it might have been Drinkwitz at Missouri.
Makes more than Pruitt.
Yeah, but I think he's already making more than Pruitt.
Yeah, think about when he came along. I mean, it's just Pruitt's going to eventually be making that big-time money, too, and people are going to talk about that when he comes up short. The problem for Barnes, and we talked about it when he got the extension, is that put a lot of pressure on himself. Is it fair? Yeah. I mean, he's a coach that's been coaching for a long time. I think that it is fair when people say you can criticize a coach but still like him. That's fair. But people have to kind of get over the money. You had to pay him the money, one, to keep him. Two, you weren't paying him that money to have this magical season this year. You're paying him to keep your program, the longevity, and to keep it consistent. You don't want to start over with a new coach and have to rebuild.
Yeah, and that's going back to what I said earlier about how I think, I mean, it's possible that Rick Barnes,
a little bit overrated, maybe.
Underachiever. But his I think his level of winning is his floor is a good level. I mean, when he's got it going, it's a good level, and it's just the tournament expectations.
I think the program's at a good spot, like, he's built it up, and now I don't think that we – now this year it's going to It's going to hurt if Tennessee is not playing in the tournament. We all want to watch them play in the tournament. But do we think that we're going to like take like many steps backwards in this Rick Barnes tenure? No, like we're kind of at a point where it's all good and it's only room to grow. Like I don't think he's going to fall any.
Do you think Rick Barnes has got his foot in his mouth a few times that's kind of caused some problems too?
A little bit.
Some of these comments after the ball games and stuff.
I think so, but he's like an old school coach. He's going to say what's on his mind and he's going to keep it to what he knows, and he doesn't have a problem calling out coaches. I mean, he's from that Bobby, you know, he's like an old school Bobby Knight, those type of guys where now he's not throwing chairs, but really holds players to a high standard, holds them accountable, and doesn't really bite his tongue for much.
Yeah, if Rick Barnes underachieved, you could say the same thing about the battle captain when he was here in football. See,
appreciate the call, Phil.
Yeah, you absolutely could.
He did make a good point talking about the coaches on the Hill right now. And when you do look at the coaches on Tennessee's staff, and I, you know, pretty much just looking at, let's say the three big ones, right? The three big men's ones, talking about football, basketball, and baseball. You got good coaches right now with a lot of potential, but you do just need one of them to turn that corner. You need Pruitt to beat a Florida, a Georgia, and Alabama. You need Rick Barnes to make some noise in the tournament. You need Tony V to, you know, like you were saying, Brandon, the only way that baseball is going to get big around here is if you're big into the rankings, I think.
Well,
is if you're having a big, you know, collective season where you're making a bunch of headlines.
I think they took a big step last
Absolutely.
Year.
Absolutely. But at the end of the day, it all seems like, hey, Tennessee's coaches, they're good, but they all got that one thing to prove to really kind of solidify themselves.
I think that's fair. I think you could throw Kelly Harper in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, more at the Blitz right after this. So, when talking about college baseball, it's not as easy as maybe football or basketball is, especially when you're dealing with the rankings, right? If we're talking about football or basketball, we know very easily where to go if you want to find out where your team is ranked or where some team is ranked. Baseball, it's a little bit different because I think there's, from my count, about 4 to 5 legitimate rankings that people will look at, you know, depending on where your favorite team is ranked or depending on who you use the most, things like that. There's obviously, you know, bigger ones. Like I'm pretty sure the D1 baseball, those are big. Baseball America is big. And then the only other one that I know of is the College Baseball Nation. And so we all saw the story yesterday about how, you know, Baseball America, I believe it was. I'm going to have to double check myself on that one quick second. But so Baseball America came out. That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
So they came out yesterday and posted their new top 25 after the weekend was played. Let's remember, Tennessee goes 3-0 in the weekend. We beat Texas Tech, who's ranked number one in a poll or two. You beat Houston, and then you beat Stanford, who is also in the top 25. Baseball America still had us unranked. However, I've always said, Brandon, that when I go to my baseball stats and rankings, I go to Baseball College Nation. That's what I do. Because they got Tennessee ranked at number 15.
Baseball College Nation?
Yes.
That sounds fake.
It's not fake.
Sounds like a scam.
It's not fake. It's not a scam.
Oh, I choose to go to D1 baseball.
Okay, so where do they have Tennessee?
They have Tennessee at number 24.
Okay, so you sneak in.
And the Baseball America, they've not updated yet, at least on the NCAA rankings. I'm on NCAA.com/ranking/baseball. And they've not updated. February 17th. So
yeah.
So they're
a little behind.
A week behind.
Wow. They gotta really get up to date here because we Tennessee fans, we want to know where our team is. Also, I did see this morning when I woke up because, you know, when I wake up each morning, I'm one of the idiots who just checks Twitter right away. It's like it's a disease. There's about 1,000 other things that are very productive I could do with my morning in about the 10 to 15 minutes after I wake up. Nope. Instead, I use it to check the internet, to check Twitter. Although I did see this. There was a poll running around Twitter yesterday, or actually, I guess it's kind of been over the past week, and it is the loudest college football stadiums. So they've done basically this big ranking, and they've had these polls, and it has gone, I'm trying to find this, and it has gone through a bunch of, excuse me, I'm losing my train of thought here, a bunch of matchups, right? And Tennessee's ranked the number 3 seed in this whole thing. Ends up going to the championship. And according to the internet, according to the Twitter world, the Twitter machine, Tennessee wins. Tennessee wins as the loudest college football stadium as voted on by Twitter.
Who'd they beat?
I'm trying to find it right now. It won't. I can't pull this up anywhere.
I think they beat LSU.
How about this? I'll tell you right after the break.
I'm pretty sure it is LSU.
I'll tell you about the bracket, tell you exactly who we beat as voted on by Twitter right after this. Hour number 2 coming up next.